It's about time to get started here. So let's start, open up with prayer and ask God to be with us this morning. Help me to convey what I need to convey to you all. Okay. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you help us in this class. Help me, Lord Jesus, to give your word, Lord, to these folks, and we all hear and understand and give worship back to you with where it deserves. Thank you, Lord, for all your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, first of all, happy Father's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Yes, and I told Brother Cody, but this thing that's on my... was my dad's tie, and he passed away, and so this is my first Father's Day without him, so a little hard today. So I think God distracted me by having to teach. And so please pray for me. I'm not a public speaker, so I do okay on one-on-one, but whenever it comes to a group, I'm just a little shy, I guess. But my topic is different expressions of worship that's found in the Bible and then postures of worship. Kind of tags off of what Brother Chris and Brother Cody has already talked about. First of all, what is worship? Can some people tell me what is worship? What would you define as worship?
Honor and reverence to God.
Any examples? No?
I would say it's acknowledging his worth. I know we've talked about that quite a bit, but, you know, understanding and realizing who he is, and instinctively that leads to a response. Mm.
It's a sign of gratitude of the magnificence of the Lord for all his expressions.
Yes. Talking about worship in general, you can worship anything. We can worship a career. We can worship our car, we can worship another person. It's putting something above everything else. To honor is a thing, it is as the things of the highest importance and acting like it. That's what worship is. Basically, like Brother Cody said, it's honor, reverence, or devotion is what we want to God. That's what why we worship God is because we want to give him honor. Worship's not limited to just singing or being on the platform or being in the spotlight. It's a lifestyle. It's an attitude. It's your action of how you would want to portray a Christian life to worship God. You can worship internally and externally. Internally with your heart and external by expression. We'll talk about those. John 4:23-24, it talks about worship in spirit and in truth. Worship requires obedience and surrender. Basically, I'm doing obedience because Pastor asked me to teach this morning. So, but we have to surrender ourselves, and that's part of worship, is just telling God, okay, this is out of my comfort zone, but yes, I will go ahead and do the best I can in this. Worship in the Bible is expressed through various acts of devotion and reverence, like Abraham. He worshiped by giving ultimate faith and devotion whenever he had to sacrifice his son Isaac. The Israelites on Mount Sinai in Exodus, the covenant with him, that's where he received the Ten Commandments. It's because he had that covenant with him. David, in the whenever he was bringing the ark to Jerusalem, he was doing exuberant worship, you know, praising, shouting, joyful, singing, all that. There's a big celebration. Solomon, he dedicated the temple. It was an act of worship, reflects reverence and the desire for God's presence among the people. So there's different types, like we said, you know, reverence, shouting, you know, just giving ourselves, surrender ourselves to God. There's a personal worship, and then there's corporate worship. Personal worship is an intimate worship with God. It's where you can be completely vulnerable. You don't have to perform. You don't have to hold it together. You can cry. You can confess. You can question. You can listen without an you can listen without any audience watching, but God Himself. When Jesus taught about prayer, He didn't start with the temple, which is corporate worship, which we'll talk about that. He started with the closet in Matthew 6:6, that you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So I think that we have to start out with prayer in our closet, in our own self, you know, or worship, I should say, within our own self before we could do that in a corporate setting. I think we need to start inside. Private devotion examples in the Bible. Daniel, he prayed 3 times daily in the upper room in Daniel 6:10. Jesus, he withdrew from people, from the disciples and all that, and went to lonely places to pray. That was in Luke 5:16. David cried out to God alone in the wilderness, Psalm 63:1. And Hannah prayed silently while she was in the temple amongst her everyone else. Her lips was moving, but her voice was unheard. Sometimes it's good to let our voices heard because we want God to hear us. But sometimes it's just in our heart, you know, or you're praying it silently because that's where you're getting your strength and your you're giving your devotion to Him in that manner. That's okay. These people were not or did not have lack of access to the temple or to the church or corporate worship. They were leaders. They were prophets. They, and God Himself, but they went alone. Yet they prioritized a secret place because they understood that the public power flows from private devotion. Tell me some examples of personal worship that you all would do. What type of personal worship would you do? Other than going and praying, prayer, of course, being one of them, what's some other ways that you can worship God privately?
I don't know. I talk to the Lord when I'm driving. Mm-hmm. I'll be driving cross country, and I talk for hours.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just talking. I just talk to Him just like
my friend.
That's the way I do. Yeah. Sometimes it can be short little segments. And then sometimes it could be a long, drawn-out thing. I think that's okay because we want to have constant communication. That's right.
Chris is talking about understanding His worth. Sometimes a form of worship privately is maybe acknowledging that, you know, He is a great God or a healer, even if it doesn't necessarily pertain to you. Like, because again, like if He heals me of back pain, I thank Him for that. I praise Him for that. I worship Him for that. But I mean, then there are times when you worship Him because He's a healer, not because He's necessarily doing a work in your life. He is still a healer.
Right, right.
Even if it doesn't pertain to you.
Mm-hmm. What about Bible reading? That's a way of worship, studying the Bible.
I think sharing your testimony can be form of worship too, by telling others about what He's done for you. You're acknowledging His greatness.
Journaling is something that not everybody's good at or wants to journal, but some people really can really pick up and save or retain. I'm good about taking notes during church because I don't always grasp everything that's being said at that moment. But if I'm writing down little bits and pieces of things, I can go back and read it. And I'm like, oh, yeah. You know, and it seems like whenever I do go back and read it, it's right at the exact moment that I need that particular word. Or whenever I'm trying to find something, thinking, oh, well, what? Somebody's talked about this, and I can go back, and so I just jot it down. So, and I really
like
that.
It might be obvious, but, you know, we sing in our worship services here on Sunday, but you know, listening to that kind of music at home, sometimes I have really deep moments of worship privately. Like, even during my work day, I'll have music, something on, and I have to stop and kind of compose myself, you know, because I'm getting caught up in the worship moment.
Right, right. Well, and that was my next thing, singing and praise. I mean, I remember not too long ago, I hear people talk about they're singing or praying at home, and the Lord just kind of takes them over, and they just start worshiping and praising. And I've always like, and yes, I do believe it, and yes, I do, you know, you can feel those things. But just not too long ago, I was actually washing dishes, and I had some worship music on, and I was just singing it, and I was praying. The next thing I knew, I was crying, and I didn't even feel like I was about to cry. It's just I was crying. The next thing I knew, I was, you know, just washing dishes and dancing around. But it was because I think God was just taking over. Next thing I knew, I was speaking in tongues, and I was worshiping God. But it's just like you say, praise and worship in your private time too, you know, singing, or whether it's in the shower. Sometimes it might be dangerous, but but you know, if we get to shout in the shower, we might end up on the floor.
Takes on a new meaning, praise break.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Red light. Somebody was videoing, and she got out, and she was doing a little praise.
Yeah.
Like, okay, let's go.
Right. Yeah, you know that. That movie, Prayer Warrior, War Room. Yeah, that lady. I love seeing that little lady when she gets to worship it or praying in the kitchen, and she's just getting with it. Yeah. That's about how I felt that day that happened to me in the kitchen. I was feeling like I was getting with it.
This is gonna be like kind of a weird, maybe top or like subject to say for worship, but. I'm saying testimony. I've seen a lot of people share on social media where literally I've seen people do a thing where they'll play a praise song and then they're kind of worshiping to it. It's literally at work. I've seen people like in the break room put their video on and they're like listening to a song and they're kind of doing a praise break. And man, it just does something to me to see somebody else giving God glory in that moment that they're so, they can't contain it. They have to
let it out.
So, you know, I have no idea the reach that could have to somebody else to see it and minister to them as well. So.
Well, I've watched those songs before, and somebody will share a song on there, and I thought, man, that was right for me.
Yep.
And so that is testimony, absolutely. Some more is meditation on Scripture, just reading Scripture, just meditating on it. I remember this years ago, I was working at a job in Johnson City. I did not like driving to Johnson City. I hated Johnson City. And I couldn't understand why things happened that led me to that place to work. And I kept praying. Every day I would be praying in the car, praying, God, help me. You've got to help me figure out what I need to do because I can't, you know, I don't understand why gas prices are high. And this was way back whenever gas prices first went up, not to $4, but you know what I'm saying? It still was high. We were poor. And I just kept thinking, kept praying and praying and praying. And I just looked up. I saw a church and a church sign. Never paid attention to this church or this church sign ever. And I looked up and on the sign it said, "Be still and know that I am God." And that was, and immediately it's like something touched me on my shoulder. When I saw that, I just immediately started crying because I knew God spoke to me right then and said, okay, be still. I've got this under control. I'm going to take care of this. And not too long later, I got another job and moved back to Kingsport. But still, sometimes it's that meditation, sometimes that prayer in the closet or in the car or whatever that gets us to that point. Another one, last one that I had written down is fasting. None of us like that. Or if you do, I mean, wonderful, but it's a deep personal act of surrender, saying, God, I'm hungry for you, that we have to give of ourselves, for sure. communal worship or corporate worship is basically a corporate gathering when we gather to church, in church with all of our brothers and sisters. In Hebrews 10 and 25, the Bible says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." It's a command, not an urgent, or it's a command of urgency. Jesus promised in Matthew 18 and 20, "For where there's two or three gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them." So that's why it's important to gather together. Gathering so important that even though God is omnipresent and He's with us in the prayer closet, He wants to manifest His presence, a demonstration of His Spirit. And that shows up whenever we assemble together in body. We get strength from one another whenever we're gathering together. Understanding the Holy Ghost helps us appreciate why corporate worship carries such weight, is because where we gather that strength and we see each other and talk and worship together. In Scripture, the early church devoted themselves to fellowship, breaking of bread, and praying together. Paul instructed the Corinthians on orderly corporate worship, including prophecy, tongues, and teachings. The Psalms of Ascent were sung by pilgrims. So these are all different types of worship, see, in the corporate setting. Nehemiah led corporate worship and the reading of the law that brought an entire nation to repentance. So we've got different forms of worship, even in the corporate, other than just singing on the platform or playing an instrument or preaching a sermon. There's different ways that we gather together and get strength from one another. What are some of the ways that would deepen your corporate worship? Give me some ideas. Anybody have any?
I'm sorry, what are some of the ways we get into deep corporate worship?
To deepen your corporate worship.
To deepen.
One of my first things I'll say, and it might can lead into it, would be commitment to attendance. You know, yes. Make it like a sacred appointment. Am I guilty of missing church? Yes, I am, especially in midweek service because you're tired, you're wore out, or you've had a long day or whatever. But still, that is something that I could do to deepen my time. Anybody else?
I think in the Bible studies that we have, if we engage to come to worship, you know, like to prayers, I think that will help big time. You know, like when we have Bible study, we can encourage each other. You know, we have Tuesday prayer, and they start to go over there and have, you know, togetherness in prayer. I think it would be a great way to encourage each other.
Mm-hmm.
I have to see it.
Well,
but I think it will lead to more people coming. It is important for all of us to be in worship prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Absolutely.
For the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad sometimes when you just have two or three and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole church. And I know everybody's busy. Mm-hmm. Everybody has different things going on. But I think it will be a good way, you know, to encourage each other while we're doing Bible studies.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten people like from other nominations and stuff that you know are compassionate for the Lord, but may not be interested, you know, in coming, you know, the church to hear the truth, that there is a way to introduce people to the truth. And so worship, if they love to worship, then this would be a great avenue to bring them to the truth.
True.
I feel like for me, there's a phrase that says, "Show me your friends and I'll show you your future." If you want to grow in worship or have that deeper level, hang around individuals that are there. If you want to pray better, hang around the prayer warriors.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to them. Surround yourself with people that are worshipful.
Oh, sure.
And that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think not going into worship with a mindset of what am I getting out of this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you know, what am I going to give?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just, you know, I think, you know, obviously the worship to God, but also how can I serve others?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us are involved in some type of volunteer work here at the church. I think that's a form of worship in and of itself.
Sure.
That's giving of yourself.
Yeah, I had served down here. Don't just sit. Volunteer. That's one of the things I had on there. Greet, pray with others, use your gifts. God gave us all gifts. All of us is different. So that was one of the things I wrote down. I put arrive prepared by spending time in prayer, like Sister Beatrice said. Spend time in our secret place, or even coming together in prayer to prepare for service, to help the ones that we bring to church that may not know the full truth. Join a small group. That's coming to a home near you soon. And I put practice the one another's. That's what I'm calling it anyways. One another's, it's like encourage one another. Bless one or bear one another's burdens. Confess to one another. In other words, communicate with each other. Talk. You know, none of us want to go around and telling each other our problems, but sometimes you find that special person that you can talk to. You can say, hey, I'm having this going on this week. Can you pray with, you know, those type things.
What I think is important is the person you talk to may not know what you're going through, but hey, I just know so and so. They were just dealing with that, and they go strength. Now here's a connection, and it's just
absolutely.
It's just,
absolutely, for sure. Bottom line, personal worship without corporate worship leads to isolation.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate worship without personal worship can lead to being superficial. So we need both. What are postures in worship? We're talking about physical postures. In worship, tell me some ways that you notice that people worship.
Raising your arms to the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Bowing is one of the things I had written down. It shows humility. Submission before God is when we bow before God.
Mm-hmm.
Kneeling is prayer or reverence. People lifting their hands, surrender. You know, giving praise, dancing, expression, celebration, joy. And sometimes it's just sitting and waiting on God to speak to us. That's all forms of expression of worship. We may not be able to do the things that other people do. Some people that might be elderly or physically impaired, they may not run around the church and shout and carry it, but they can sit, raise their hands, or they can just sit in their chair and pray. May not have the gift to go up around the altar and pray someone to the Holy Ghost or whatever, or pray for healing. But we all have that way that we can minister to others by external and worshiping God. Whether that's being a greeter at the door, being a bus driver, working security, doing techie stuff that I'm not good at. All of us, you know, mailing a card to somebody. All of us have ways that we can do, show different forms of worship. Internal worship would be like reverence, awe. Holy fear, I should say. Holy fear. You know, you don't want to fear God, but you should have that holy reverence, that deep respect, I should say. And that's where...
I had a comment about that. There's times when I've been so overwhelmed in the presence of God that I want to make myself as small as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, you know, I'm down on my knees, like, balled up because I'm just like, I am such a speck.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
I think that's how I feel. I feel so insignificant. But then, you know, being able to, like, try to translate that into a physical posture. I just can't.
Or laying flat. You know, you're just so overwhelmed, just laying flat. And God, I can't, you know, do this anymore. That's just showing total surrender. You know, I've had enough, you know, or whatever. You got to help me here. Sure.
And I'm not against you, Gary, because I'm not against you. But I think, you know, when I worship the Lord, I worship the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want people to see me worshiping the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know it kind of encouraged because it does encourage. But, you know, when you have that special moment with the Lord, it's you and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel sometimes like, I'm going to be a gentleman, and I'm like just restraining myself, and I'm losing that blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Because not the awareness that others will see me, this is not that. It's more that this is me and the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think there are occasions that things happen, and that has nothing to do with the public, but it has to do with this congregation and the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I have nothing against me, but I just, when I have my moment with the Lord, it's doing in the Lord. Otherwise, I can have my moment with the Lord at home.
Right.
But if I'm being in the congregation, you know, I might have that moment with the Lord too, but it's the Lord in me.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of goes back to when Brother Chris was speaking a couple of weeks ago. He asked a question. I don't even remember all the question, but my response was, I closed my eyes. And a lot of times, whenever people's running around and people are doing all things, I have to close my eyes to concentrate on what I'm doing, because that, and I don't mean it in a bad way, but it's a distraction for me. But it's not that they're worshiping out of line or anything like that. But I have to close my eyes in order to get within myself to think, okay, I've got to praise and worship God for myself to get what I need out of church.
I think that's good, too, because it's kind of like you're not reacting to mm-hmm. what they're doing, but you're examining your heart, knowing it's coming from my heart and not because of what they're doing.
Right, right. Yeah. Internal worship, love and devotion, it flows from a relationship. It all boils down to, we've got to have a relationship with God. Humility, recognizing that God's greatness and we're dependent upon Him. Gratitude, thanksgiving, and basically obedience, living according to God's will. Those are all internal things that we should examine ourselves and internally for forms of worship. The external, singing, playing music, prayer, giving, sacrifice. Again, it's not equal gifts, but equal sacrifice. Testimony, as we all talked about, and silence and meditation. Anybody have anything to offer that? Kind of wrapping it all up, I wrote down some things. Bowing down, raising our hands, and laying face down in surrender to God are all postures of worship. We can clap, lift our hands in surrender, dance, or shout. Our posture of worship is a reflection of what is in our heart. He is worthy of our worship. These postures are not about physical act alone, but to reflect the heart and the intention. Worship involves the whole being, spirit, body, and truth, or soul, spirit, and body. The choice of posture in worship is your own personal conviction. There is no single way to worship God, and that's talked about in Psalms 95 and 6. When a young man meets a young woman that he wants to impress, he stands up straight, shoulders back, his guts sucked in. He maintains eye contact and a smile. Then when he wants to propose, he gets down on one knee. When he messes up, he's on two knees. Kind of just shows two different, just shows the different forms of physical devotion that you would have. Basically, when someone points a gun at you, what do you do? What's the first thing that you do? We raise our hands and surrender. Children, whenever they're wanting you to hold them or show affection, what do? They're lifting their hands. They're wanting you to pick them up or show them love. At a sporting event, I'm good at this. At a sporting event, you jump in the air, you pump your fist, and you shout as loudly as you can. When the ref makes a bad call, you throw your hands up in frustration and you boo. Everybody's been around me at sporting event knows that I'm very exuberant. Your heart's called up in the moment, which causes your body to respond outwardly. So there again, what you do in private, in your own personal time, shows up in when you're out and about or whatever. Paul writes in 1 Timothy 2:8, I desire that in every place person should pray, lifting holy hands. He's referring to the Old Testament where people were encouraged to pray and worship using certain postures, like raising the hands. King David was the innovator of music and corporate worship. He wrote hundreds of songs for the purpose of engaging the mind, heart, and body in worship. He understood that posture outwardly expresses inward reality. Our body naturally acts the way our hearts feel. And I think I've said that multiple times, but that's just basically the point I'm trying to get across, that what's in our heart will convey and come out into our outward expressions. Yeah. Reflect on the times you have worshiped God in the last few weeks. What is one thing that may keep you from fully worshiping Him? We kind of talked about that, something that's happened. Maybe lack of prayer, maybe not.
I think something that people are worshiping is like when just and repentance too. And repentance and not being 100, you know, God, like you're not walking in the spirit of the family member, or you just not being obedient instead of just not being up to the Lord. That way, just not having the right relationship with other
people. Right. Right. Oh, I thought you started to say something. Basically, God wants our hearts, not just our fake smiles, arms raised, or our knees bent. He wants more than just our shouts or our songs. He wants all of us. Mm-hmm. So that's basically what it is. And I have a video. And again, I'm not techie, so I had to just save it on my phone, and I'm going to play it for you all to listen to. It's kind of funny at first, but it has a good message. So bear with me just a second till I find it here. Well, of course, my service isn't good in here.
While you're pulling that up, I do want to add on to something you said. When you were describing all of the different ways that people react to other things, like you know, when somebody points a gun at you, put your hands up. It made me realize, like, so many of those things require a physical response. Mm-hmm. There's something that you were doing with your body. Mm-hmm. And I know we talked about this, you know, about the idea of worship requiring some sort of response, and a lot of times it is physical, the different postures we have. I started to think about, like, you have a question on here about what barriers might be experiencing. And I think a lot of those barriers end up being attitudes that we have, attitudes that we bring into worship.
Right.
And so, like, you know, I've seen people that are very prideful. I've probably even been prideful.
I think we all are,
like,
yeah.
In worship. I mean, specifically in worship. Mm-hmm. I know I'm prideful in other areas of my life. But, like, being, like, in worship, and you're like, I don't want to do what I know I should be doing right now for whatever reason. And I think, like, when you break that with a physical act by doing something that's contradictory to pride, like getting on your knees, like what you said, it's an act of submission. And I realize that this is what you've been talking about this whole time, but it really is sometimes that simple as doing something like that. That will break you, and it kind of, like, leads to that next moment of breakthrough for you. Or if you're, if it's distraction, I know we mentioned, like, sometimes you got to step out of your seat because there's literally distractions around you.
And go up front.
Mm-hmm. So you go up front. Mm-hmm. That physical act of doing that, or maybe it's even just lifting your hands, because sometimes our brains need to be reminded what we're doing.
Right.
So, like, putting your hand, if you just stand there, we're in a worship service, but we're not actually worshiping. You know, we talked about that in week one. If you're standing there and you're just kind of observing, by just putting your hands in the air, your brain kind of wakes up and goes, oh, yeah.
I'm in church.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Sometimes just even that simple act of putting your flesh under subjection by just, mm-hmm. you know, a trigger, a physical posture trigger, can change the whole trajectory of your worship experience.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's a long-winded way to say it, but...
Well, it's true.
Piggyback off that, I've been happy before. I've been in service before. And, you know, I'm a man, I don't have to cry.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll know that I'm on the verge. I'm like, oh, I'm not going to go for 24 crying. I'm not going to cry today.
Yeah.
I wear contacts. My face is going to be tough.
Right.
You know, and I'm missing opportunity there.
Mm-hmm.
And you just say, if I just would have been up there and just fall my eyes out,
then I'd felt better. Yeah, and we come in to service with all the things that's happened to us during the week or what's on our mind, what we've got to do next week. And then I think that's a barrier, too, that we have. Sometimes we've got to put that to the side by closing our eyes, raising our hands, going to the altar, whatever it is to do it. I can't get the video pulled up, but I'll say the gist of it. It's not going to be near as fast.
Can you send it to us in the group chat?
I can. Yeah. I will. Yeah. But basically what it says, it's a minister goes to this black church, and he goes in and he sits down by this lady, and she says, what are you here for, white boy? And basically she's calling him a white boy through all this, you know, thing. And he goes, I'm here to minister today. And then she says, kind of tells him how the service is going to be. And, you know, we're going to sing for an hour. We're going to praise God. Are you in for that, white boy? You know, and saying all this all through the thing and telling the order of the service. We're going to take offering, all this. Then when you get up there and preach, are you going to let God use you and all this? She basically was interrogating him throughout this whole thing. And he just kept answering her questions. And then he went up to preach, she said, will you scoot over just a little bit? Because, oh, is there somebody else coming? She goes, no, because whenever the music starts, she said, she goes, I've got to have room to worship. And so when worship comes, she was just all over the place, just shouting and carrying on, you know, and doing her thing. And he moved on up to where the pastor was, you know, to get ready to speak. And he said, I was sitting, he goes, oh, I didn't realize that you was back there. And he said, yeah, I am sitting by that seat. He goes, oh, sister, whatever her name is, I'm going to call her Ann. Oh, sister Ann. He said, yeah. Said, did she tell you her testimony? And he said, no. He said, well, 2 years ago, and I may be getting some of the facts wrong, but you get the gist. 2 years ago, her husband and her two teenage sons went to the bus stop. Somebody came by and shot them, killed them. And then did she also tell you that she's got stage 4 cancer or whatever? And you know, basically she has really bad things that is happening to her. But the moral of the story was, at the end, it said, the punchline was, which what I wanted to end with today, basically was, how would you show your worship? Basically, how would you, going through all of that, how would we react and how would we show our worship? Something to go away from and think, no matter how bad it is, we still need to worship God because He is our ultimate provider and supplier of all things. Mm-hmm. So it was a funny thing, but it was just one of those, it was a story that really hit me hard at the end of the video of the question, but I'll send it to you and put it on there.
Like worship is a mindset.
It is.
You know, and I know the physical mirrors the spiritual. And like mm-hmm. when you go into a department store, they're always changing things up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so like an end cap, you know, they'll change it up, or you know exactly where that product is. You know, you'll go straight to, oh, they moved it. And mm-hmm. so
yeah.
It's a mind thing. because if they move it, oh, that's right, I need this. Mm-hmm. You know, so in the corporate world, they know how to change your mind.
Mm-hmm.
They know how to change the atmosphere. Music changes the atmosphere. The reason why stores always playing relaxing music, because if they play relaxing music, it changes your mindset, the chemicals in your mind, mm-hmm. your brain, mm-hmm. you know, it changes things, your outlook. And so that's why the Bible says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving
mm-hmm.
and enter his courts with praise.
Mm-hmm.
So when we, you know, like Saturday nights, we start gearing our mind for Sunday,
mm-hmm.
you know, so when we come in here, we're not thinking about, you know, we're going to start Monday morning, you know, but our minds are 100% focused on him,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's a mind thing.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
It's funny with your story, but I just want to say that I know what it is without having your arms,
mm-hmm.
because I lost my left arm for 9 months, and I lost my right arm for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
and I lost my voice for 5 months, and there were a time that I couldn't walk,
mm-hmm.
and there was a time that I couldn't even sit. So when the praise and worship team that comes with the sign language comes,
mm-hmm.
you know, we had a little song in Spanish that says, if my voice is gone, I can lift up my hands. If my hands are gone, I can stomp on my feet. Mm-hmm. If my feet are gone, I still move my body. Mm-hmm. If my body's gone, it's because I have left and I'm gone with him.
Right,
you know?
Yeah.
So it's amazing, you know, we worship in different ways. Even kneeling or bowing or lifting our hands or shouting or moving around that might be uncomfortable for the one that is next to you. I know that Nick has said to next to me, and I said, Nick, move to the next one because I need a little bit more room. And I said, Ms. Harris, give me another space because I need a little bit more room. But I tell you, when the Lord has rescued you, from the depth,
mm-hmm.
and he has put your feet on the rock, mm-hmm. and has straightened up your knees,
mm-hmm.
and he has given you a song of deliverance.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can stay still. I mean, still is
absolutely.
Okay too, mm-hmm. because there's going to be times that you just have to stay still.
Absolutely.
But when the presence of the Lord takes over, it's hard
mm-hmm.
to stay quiet. Your whole being
mm-hmm.
is gonna react to the magnificent presence of the Almighty.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yep. So I'm sorry for the ones that are next to me, but they have to move a little bit.
That's all right. That's all right.
Because I cannot contest the presence of the Lord in this little teeny tiny body, that sometimes I feel like it's big.
Okay, well, that's all I have.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, just the deep revelation of
mm-hmm.
the power of God, and just in your life and that personal power, just where he's brought you from, like what was shared, and what he's sustaining you through
mm-hmm.
right now,
mm-hmm.
even
mm-hmm.
through, like, you know, it's like the enemy just coming like a roaring lion, but just realizing what God is protecting
mm-hmm.
you from, and what he's cultivating in you, and just a hunger and thirst and worship for just attention and revelation of just, it's like Worship by C.C. Wienand's, like, just, you know, just Worthy by C.C. Wienand's,
mm-hmm.
it's when they're worthy, another glimpse of heaven,
mm-hmm.
seeing once more worthy,
mm-hmm.
and then he's so, like, I can't even say he's worthy, worthy, enough is not even
enough
word of what he is,
mm-hmm.
like unworthy. I'll just go to what I'm not
mm-hmm.
to try to put him
mm-hmm.
on what he is, because worthy,
right.
There needs to be another word of a definition of worthy.
Well, like you said, sometimes what we get and the worship that we get on Sunday, we may not know why we got blessed that day for some, but it's going forward. He knows what's ahead of us that week that we're going to have to go back to, oh, Lord, you are here. You are with me during this time because of.
Yeah.
And worship is joy, and that is, or it truly is, that song says it, but it is. There's it's nothing that just a worship. There's no anger, no anything that just, if you just break out and worship, then it can't get you through.
That's true. That's true.
We can just tune in and just worship. Mm-hmm. It's truly our strength.
Yeah. That's true. Absolutely.
And getting to that point of worship and denying yourself and giving to God his due is
It is.
Our strength.
Absolutely. Okay. I think we're ready to go and worship together. Okay.